So Wayne already gave away my first joke about public holiday in my lifetime. It was changed. It was changed in 1994, and I was born in 95. So obviously, it's something to do with South African grit. Maybe we just like ignore the public notices and we just take off. I was very encouraged to hear that Jaden's school took off, public school, and I thought that was amazing. They took off for Ascension Day, and I was like, I was in a Christian school. We never took off for Ascension Day. Doing it wrong. But as I was saying, as long as I can remember, Ascension Day was a public holiday. I think my parents just took advantage, to be honest. They said, you're not going to school today. We're going to have a fun day or whatever. But that's been taken away from us. And I think for many of us, that's what Ascension Day is. It's, oh, it used to be a public holiday. That was great. And it's this weird theology that we have that Ascension Day is one of the few Christian holidays where we don't really get much out of it. It's just Jesus disappears. He goes away. He leaves us alone in this world, which is terrifying. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set aside by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up out of their sight while they were watching, and a cloud took them out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand around looking up at heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come the same way you have seen him going to heaven." I think, as I was saying before, I think a lot of the time we get a bit cross. Jesus, why did you leave us? You had so much work to do. You left the ball in our court. You disappeared without saying goodbye properly. We wanted all the power and all the kingdom and all the glory at once. And you just went poof. Not only that, he says, go be witnesses for me to the ends of the earth. And I like to liken that to being in the stadium at the Rugby World Cup final. And the Springboks, as usual, are 1 point down and the buzzer has gone. And the team leaves the field and you've got to make that kick to win the World Cup. It's exactly the same. Jesus does all this amazing stuff. And then he says, okay, guys, over to you. And he goes. I think that's terrifying. And I also think that's why the disciples just stood and stared at the clouds for a bit. They didn't know what to do next. They were absolutely gobsmacked. They're like, really? You're leaving this to us, a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and a few dodgy guys, to do this crazy, crazy work that you've been telling us about for the past 3 years. But in doing this, Jesus offered us the greatest opportunity one could ever think of. The chance to transform the world into one that follows the heart of God. A kingdom of love and peace and unity. But 2,000 years later, we're still chasing that dream. And all I can think is I lost my public holiday. So Luke's account of the gospel, in the gospel of the Ascension, goes like this. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Luke and Acts overlap in their accounts of the ascension, with Luke being the ascension being the climax of his gospel, the climax of the story of Christ, while Acts starts with the ascension. It's the foundational starting point of how the gospel goes to the rest of the world. I think that we forget the importance of ascension. It is both the point from which we arrive at the end of the gospel and we depart with the gospel. It's like a landing strip of the word, where the plane lands and the plane takes off. It is the moment where Christ is inaugurated and crowned on high as king. It is the moment where he rules and reigns over all creation, and he is worshipped as God for the first time in all love and truth. I'm going to pull out one word from Luke's little account that stuck out to me as an indication of what ascension means in our lives and the effects it has on us every single day. It's a very loose connection, but we're in the vineyard, so it's okay. So if it doesn't suit you that it's so loose, it's just a segue. It's just a segue to a nice three-point sermon for those of you who are more Methodist inclined. I notice that in that passage, I'm going to read it again. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. I noticed the word blessed three times. And I find that very important. First, I see it as the three blessings of ascension. I didn't come up with this. I stole this from St. Thomas Aquinas. The first ascension blessing is that Jesus blesses us as he goes before us to prepare a place for us in heaven. In John 14, it is written, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may also be." In other words, Jesus goes to heaven as the first human, yet fully divine, to be in heaven. He lays down a precedent for all human souls who believe in him to follow after him and dwell with the Father in eternity. He goes first so that when we get to the door of the club, we can say, "I'm with him." Second, Jesus blesses us through his ascension by standing as intermediary for us. He speaks to God on our behalf. He advocates and intercedes for us so that we can commune directly with the Father. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them." Jesus is our connection point. He's our telephone cable to God. Isn't that cool? And finally, Jesus blesses us with gifts and power. The thing we like the most, we like to get stuff. But it's for a purpose. It's to create God's kingdom here on earth. After his ascension, Jesus sends down his Spirit to empower us to spread the gospel with boldness and all strength. We see this as the Spirit comes on the disciples with fire at Pentecost. And then we see Peter preaching boldly. In Ephesians 4:10, it also says, "The one who descends, who descended, is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things." And then Paul goes on to describe the spiritual gifts that Jesus grants us. So Jesus prepares, he intercedes, and he fills us. But why? So that we can complete his work here. It's not a freebie. It's not a free lunch. We'd like to think it is, but it isn't. We have a part to play. I've got a little analogy to pull this all together. So bear with me with this. Imagine Jesus is kind of like Eskom, except he always works. He goes to God, the power station, and brokers a deal so that we can all get light here on earth. Then he lays down the cables. Mile after mile, he lays down his life so that we can be connected to that source. Then finally, once all the infrastructure is in place and he goes up to be with the Father, he switches on the power so that we can get light, so that we can shed light. And that's the kicker. We can't shield this light that we've been given. It's not something we can hide under a basket. It is something that we need to put in the center of the room to bring light to everyone. That is our part, to share that light with the world. I think we often just forget the ascension has so much beauty in it, that our King reigns forever and ever, and that he lives within us and through us. It is a call. It is a journey. It's our turn to share that truth. So, as we close, I was very quick this morning because Wayne said I could only preach for 5 minutes. It's fine, you do the same to me. I just want to ask God for grace and courage, that we can take what Christ did for the purpose he required it to the next level, to impart it to the rest of the world, to be that light, to take on that journey as a mission, as a witness to the whole world. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you that you came, you died, you rose, you ascended to heaven so that we can commune with the Father, so that we can go and be with you, and so that we can shed your light. I pray, Lord, that you encourage, that you impart, that you bring life where it is needed so that we can do the work that you called us to. Help us go boldly. Help us go gently. Help us go kindly and love this world the way you did. So that it can be immersed in your light and power.